That song is rich to me. I remember one time God spoke to my soul. And for my soul and also for the healing of my body. He says the healing Galilee is evermore the same. I found it so. It's wonderful to be a serving one that's evermore the same. My mind went back. Some time back when I had a heart attack, and as I was going along the path, my heart somehow went failing on me, and it seemed like the earth was coming up to me, but instead of that, I was going to the earth. I couldn't hold up. I just went down and slid on the ground. I went on few days and every day getting weaker and weaker. I had to lay down on the bed two or three times a day. And as it kept going on, I still getting weaker. I was nearing my end. I realized I was becoming awful weak. And I thanked the Lord. I went out to the garage one day and I thought to myself I'll just go out and tell him all about it. When I stepped in the garage, it was empty. And the little door, I opened up and stepped on the inside. I heard that sacred, precious voice of God speak to me again. He said, just as plain before I went in prayer, the minute I closed the door and stepped in, he said, what the devil puts on you, I'll take off. And I looked down, I had to smile. Instead of going in prayer, I had to smile. And I went down upon my bended knees. I said, Lord, you said what the devil puts on me, you'll take off. I said, Lord, I ask you to take it off. Lift it off. I went back into the house, feeling better. Come on out of it right now. And my heart, far as I know, I have nothing wrong with it. Oh, it's a mighty God, a wonderful, a powerful God we're serving. You know, God don't want us to look at him as a puny, little, small, and all of that. But we're serving a great God tonight. Well, I want to read over here in in the third chapter of John. Give a little experience of my own before starting in. And to bring out the thought that I would like to. I one time was lost out in the mountains. And while I was out there roaming the mountains, here and there, not knowing where I was, lost out there in the dark night, and there I was in a miserable condition. I felt bad out in the mountains. Dark, it overtook me. Rain was a-falling. And I was out there, couldn't go no direction, didn't know which way to go. And I thought to myself, back home, at my father's house, there is all my brothers. I can just picture them in my mind. There they are all gathered around the stove. There they are all gathered around in the light. In Father's house, and me out here in the mountains. It was a sad feeling to me. I began to picture how nice that would be back home. To be in home there with the rest. Be with the rest of the family. I wasn't wishing to be in someone else's home. I wanted back in the family where I was born. I wanted back in that family where I was born. I wandered away from that home. I got out in the mountains. I wandered from where I was born and got on out in the mountains there, lost in the night. And when after I came to myself and saw the condition, what it all meant, how deep, how dark it was, long in the still hours of the night, I heard my father call my name and I answered. That sounded good to me. I'm unable to say how good that voice sounded to me when I heard him call my name. And he called my name again as he got a little closer, and it wasn't long until Father and I locked arms. Well, I was longing to be back in the home. I didn't realize the value of home until I was out in the cold mountains, until I was out there lost in the mountains. If you was ever out in the mountains where you, the dens and the caves of the earth are, lost and don't know which way to go, what kind of animals are around you, nothing about it gives you a queer and a strange feeling. And it made me to realize, oh, I'd like to be back home. I'd like to be back home where the family is, where my brothers is. I long to be back there. And finally, my father, he led me back to my fire, to the home. Well, I just say this. I'd like to speak to everyone. You that have got an experience of salvation, I'd be glad if the house were full. I would be glad if it was full of people that's in sectism, in denomination, movements of every description. Wherever that may be, if you are a child of God, if you are born again and not in and don't realize you're in the house of God, you need to go home. Because Zion is the home of every child of God. You may be in some movement, there may be some here tonight, in some movement, in some other church, in some other belief, and all of that. I don't say that you're a sinner and all of that, but if you're born again, you're away from home out in the dark mountains. You're out in a dark mountain. You're out among this cold world. God, if everyone could realize what it means to be back in the home where you were born. Now, notice here in Nicodemus, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Seventh verse, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now that is plain words. That is very simple and all of that. But yet, at the same time, my home, where I was born, that was my native home. Where I was born, I mean in my body was born, that was my native country. I am away from my native country now. My home is in Nebraska. That's my native country, where I was born. But when a man or woman is born again, in which they must be born again to become a Christian, must have that experience, then I want to know for you to notice where your native home is. Over here in Psalm 87 and 5, he says, And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, that there is the home of every child of God. And there's not a born again man or woman that is out of that. You may be out to an extent, out in, wandered from that, out in some sectarian movement and all of that, but if you are, God is calling everyone to come to their native home. Come to their native home. Because Zion is the home of every child of God. The home of the free, isn't it? The home of the free. It's for every child of God to be in this home. And I'm glad that for instance here, some people will say, I know I got saved out of where I am. Whatever movement that may be, he says or she says, I got saved in this movement. I got my experience down here. If you got born again, you never got it there. You got that out of heaven. You didn't get that. You may be Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Carmelite, Nazarene. You never got that there. You got a born-again experience from God. You read in 1 John 1 and 12, as many as came to him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, who were born not of flesh and blood, but not the will of man, but of God. There it was. They got that experience of God. You don't get a born-again experience in sectism. Now, some may misunderstand me in all of that, but I'm saying here very plain that when you get salvation, you get that of God. You get that of God. Now, some may want better scriptures on that. We'll turn over here to Jeremiah 20:23. Folks, I'm glad there's only one place to get this salvation. There's only one place. Now listen here in Jeremiah 3:23. Truly, in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. It comes from God. It don't come from hills. What does he mean when he says, truly in vain is salvation sought for, hoped for from the hills? Hills is sectism. Denomination, churches of the world, in vain is salvation sought for from them. Why? Because there is no salvation in them. God, here we are, when a man or woman gets salvation, they get it direct from God. They get it from him. But now then, that's where a man is. Whenever he's born again, he got that from God, and there he is. He may be off wandering in this mountain, in them hills, and all of that. God is calling his people home that is not home. Oh, I'm thankful today, tonight, that God has called me home. I'm home for good. Home of the free, home of the, happy, where I can enjoy salvation, where it's a wonderful experience. And some may wonder, that, well, why isn't it all right for us to stay down here and live where we are among the sectarian world, back in the hills and all of that? We've heard 104 and 18 of Psalms. And notice why God don't want us to live among in the hills of sectism. Because there's something there that is not what God is pleased with. In Psalms 100, if I can find it here after a while, 104 and 18, I believe it is, he says, the high hills are for a refuge for the wild goats, the rocks for the conies. That's what the hills is for, them for the goats belongs out there. Sheep don't belong out in the hills. They belong in Zion. They belong in Mount Zion. But the hills are for the wild goats. Thank the Lord, I don't want my pasture among the wild goats. I'm just a plain speaker, that's all. I just talk plain the way it is. And I love the truth. The truth is what set me free, folks. It's what set me free. I'm glad for the truth of God's word. One time, I just want to give an experience here of a man. Been preaching for 60 years. There he preached on and on. And he called, after I got out into Colorado, came to the meeting house. He was a pastor of a congregation of a church called out there. And he asked me if I wouldn't take over. Just take possession of his meeting house and preach to him. I said I would be glad to. He turned it over and I went in his meeting house. He'd been preaching for 60 years. And he told me, he says, you know, he says, he's gray-headed, long said, I've been preaching for 60 years. Oh, he said, I've saw many, many converts. I saw lots of them. Held meetings all over the country, here and there. And he says, I go in a meeting house here and over yonder, and I've saw many get converted, and many make the change, and all of that. Well, I didn't pay too much attention to that, but when he turned the meeting house over to me, I just went in. And when I got in, I took a text on the Church of God. I love the Church of God. It's a home of the soul. It's my home. I'm not ashamed of my home. I love my home. And I felt like everybody ought not to be ashamed of their home, because I was always a home lover. I always loved home. When my mother was living, I went to town. It wasn't very long until I was back again, because I loved home. And wife, when she tells me to go to the store and get something or town, well, she says, you made that awful quick. I said, I have no interest there. I love home. I love home. And since I've got born again, I found this other home, and I love it. So this man, he says, well, all right, I'll turn it over to you. And he already made the promise and agreement. So I took the text on the Church of God. I began to preach it on the Church of God that night, and he got awfully tried. He was tested. He hadn't heard that much any in his movement, so he just dropped his head. He hung his head down. He couldn't hold it up. His wife would punch him like that. He'd lift up and listen. And he kept his head down. The next night we came together, I guess he thought he'd hear something different. So when we come in, I took a text on the Church of God. A different angle of it. Well, he nothing else to do. He dropped his head again. But he's staying with his agreement. He told me, turn it over to me. I stayed with that. I just giving out what the Lord gave me. Third night I come in, and I got up. He had his head up. I took a text on the Church of God. Well, his head went down again. He couldn't stand that name. He didn't realize that that was a home of the soul. He didn't realize it. And so come in the fourth night, had his head up listening, expecting something else. So the fourth night, I stepped to the pulpit. I took a text on the Church of God. And he said, that time he held his head up. He looked at me straight. Watched it all the way through. I preached the Church of God, the home of the soul. He watched me all the way through, just kept watching close. We're following the scriptures right on through. So when I sit down, put to his feet. Been preaching for 60 years, getting converts in this movement, in that movement, traveling all over the country, he said. I didn't know what he was going to say. I didn't know whether I was going to catch something or not. I didn't know what was going to take place. But when he rose to his feet, he says, well, folks, that was a confession he made, that it meant something for an aged man to make a confession after doing all that he had done. He says, folks, I want to tell you, I have preached for 60 years, and I have held meetings here and there all over the country, and all of that. I have saw many join the church. I've saw many members added to the churches. He says, I've saw all of that, but I want to tell you tonight, he said, with all the members I saw added to the church or joined the church and all of that, I have never in my lifetime showed one of them their home. But he says, thank God I see my home tonight. He said, I see my home tonight. All of these years I've been trying. All that I've wasted. All of it is thrown away. Lost all in 60 years. A filling up sectism, furnishing converts for sectism, and I never showed a one of them, he says, their home. But thank the Lord, he said, I have found my home. Oh, folks, I'm glad I found my home. I'm glad of it tonight. I You know, it meant something for him to rise to his feet and do that. Some may wonder about that. But you know, here, there is a scripture. I cannot call to mind just now, right where it's at, but some of you may know. But anyhow, it says, every man's work shall be tried by sword, by fire. And if any man, I'll put at it the best I can, if you can remember it. Where at? 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians? If someone did it, now, God is going to test every man's work. Come try it out by fire. It'll be revealed by fire, not literal fire. Now the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. That's Holy Ghost fire. That's Holy Ghost fire now. Now go on, Brother Max. Now if any man work abide that he built thereon, if he'll stand the test of the Holy Ghost fire, well, he'll receive a reward. He'll get something out of that. If the Holy Spirit, when the gospel goes forth, the Holy Ghost minister goes in, and if it burns up all he's got, all that he's been building all in 60 years, he'll suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, so is by fire. There he come out of it himself, but all of his 60 years of building and organizing and adjoining and all of that, the Holy Spirit fire just burned it all up. Just set fire to the whole thing. I was thankful. It is sad to see a man preach for 60 years then lose the whole thing, but he better lose the whole thing and get out himself. Better lose the whole thing. Now that's a real picture of what it means to suffer loss. What it means to suffer loss. He suffered the loss of 60 years of labor. Now you think it was terrible if you'd go out here and build a brand new home, and just as soon as you got your brand new home up, someone set fire to it. That would be an awful loss. That wasn't the loss of his. His was 60 years of labor. 60 years of teaching joining, 60 years of organizing, and all of that. Then when the Holy Spirit come forth and revealed to him, there he says, oh, I've lost it all. I've lost it all. But yet he himself escaped. He come out of it, so it's by fire. You know, I'm glad that to see a man out there. That meant something to me. I'll never forget that confession. Oh, just to think of anyone getting up and confessing there that he had wasted all of his labor, all of his time, and all of that. Listen, that really meant something. But now then, Zion, I can say, is the home of every child of God. It's a home of everyone. It's a home of the free. And I believe we just sang a song here tonight somewhere. It might have been number 2. I don't know where it was. But maybe we didn't sing it. But this Warner said, we'll shout while our city doth burn. We'll shout while our city doth burn. Babylon has been set on fire of the Holy Ghost. It's burning up now. Like a man was back in Tennessee. He come out there, he was a sinner. He didn't live right. And I was holding a meeting there. I said, be glad for you to come out to service tonight. No, he said, I tell you. We're losing out. Our church is losing. Our members is falling away. There's so many things going on. And he said, I've just got to get down there and support it. I've just got to get down and help it out. I've got to get down to be all the support I can to keep it from going to ruins. Why, I says, you living right? Oh, no, I'm not living right. I'm not ready, but I've got to hold our church up. I've got the whole church up or it'll go down. Folks, I want to tell you, fire is set, the Holy Spirit fire is set forth to it. It is a going down. It's a crumbling today. Almost every movement that you can find over the globe, they'll tell you that it's not what it used to be. It's not what it used to be. Thank God, I want to say tonight, the Church of God is what it used to be. It's what it used to be. It ain't failed any. It's not lost out. I've heard people say the Church of God has lost its missionary spirit. Not that I know of.
Amen.
I've never saw any of it lost yet. I'll tell you tonight, when I first started out in this Christian life, when I first started out in the ministry work, I was willing to cut loose, swing out, and venture out by faith into the full core of the world, coast to coast. I'm willing to do that. I went forth by faith in God, not knowing what had become of me, not knowing the results out there. And that's been over 20-some years ago. Tonight it's just as real to me as it was when I started. I'm just as desirous to reach out and get a soul. I'm just as hungry to reach out. I'll lay awake at night and study and pray and agonize here and there on my bed, wrestle with God for souls now. And that's been 20-some years ago, and I'm still wrestling with God for souls today. Well, I can't see where the missionary spirit, you may have lost out. You may have lost your mission, the missionary spirit. But folks, I want to tell you, the Church of God don't lose the missionary spirit. It's not, it can't leave him. I've got a wife at home. And you know my wife, when we married, she had every member on her body. Every member was on her body. She's not lost one of her members yet. She's not lost a one. She's got every member that she had when I got her. The Church of God has got every gift and all of that that she had when he started her out with. She's got it. She's the same today. The Church of God is the same. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. It's the home of the soul. It's not like our little shack one time I went into back in the hills of Missouri when I moved, when Father moved down there when I was a little boy. You know, I moved in there and I went to work and he says, we're going somewhere, and he left us boys at home. We had just a little log house, just a one-room log house, and while my folks was gone, I was just a little fella, and we went to work. We was in a pine country, and I gathered up a lot of pine knots. They didn't tell me or teach me anything about pine knots or anything. I didn't know nothing about them. And I began to gather up. We was going to have a good fire while Father and Mother was gone. We didn't mean no harm by it or anything, but we had a fireplace, and we just poured the pine knots on the fireplace. Whole bunch of them. We got a lot of them on that fireplace. After a while, it got to burning. And you know that little old log house? We were just a teetering. We finally had to get on the outside. I didn't know what to do with that. That had me bothered. And all of that, the old log house was just a shaking. And all that, and I thought to myself, thanks over after long years after that, I thought, I'm glad I'm in a house of God that's set on fire and it'll get the shaking. You can stay in there all the time. You know, I remember one time reading of Moses. Moses said over yonder, when God turned him around, he said, look at the bush. The bush is on fire. It's a burning. You remember that? Third chapter of Exodus. I believe I'm right. The bush is on fire. He said, Moses looked at that bush. There was a blaze going up, a burning all the time, a burning. And he wondered, why didn't the bush burn up? Why didn't it burn up? I can't understand why the bush don't burn up when it got the fire in that bush. But it never, the bush never did burn up. Thank the Lord, the Church of God is on fire today, but it'll never burn up. It'll never burn up. It's on fire today. I've heard different ones say that, well, boy, it's lost out and lost out. You might lose out. You might do this. You might do that. And you hear some say, well, we're not where we used to be. Just say, I'm not where I used to be. That makes it sound better. I'm just not where I used to be. I've not got that love in my heart that I used to have. I've not got that first love in my heart. I've not got that joy in my heart. I've not got this and all of that. If that's the case, you say, I haven't got it. You say, I haven't got it. Listen here. When the church of God in Mount Zion, that's the home of the soul, everything's moving along fine. When you get back to the home of the soul, I want to show you what a beautiful picture it is. When you come back to the home of the soul, over here in Psalms 133, back where the when I was lost in the mountains, oh, I pictured it in my mind. How I would like to be back where my brothers is. How I would like to be where father and mother is. In the house, out there in the mountains. Oh, I got to picture things. I thought that would be nice to be back under the light in father's house. Back where my rest of my brothers was. And finally I got there. And that was happy to sit around the fire with the rest of my brothers all safe in home and father and mother. Well, now listen over here in 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Back where the unity is. Back where the oneness is. Back where the perfect harmony. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew at the center. Now, here's a thought in our life for everyone to give. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there, where unity is, where oneness is, where harmony is, there, he says, for there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. Right where the harmony is, right where the oneness is, right where the peace is. I'd like to draw just a little here on the board if I can get at it. I don't know how I can make it or not. There's a scripture over here in Revelation. In Revelation, I believe, the 6th chapter, God wants his people and has got them all together. I love to be together. I love that. That's precious to my heart. And when a man or woman is in Zion, if you are in Zion tonight, and I'm in Zion tonight, we're together. We're not got no cold shoulders to each other. There's no difference in us. No division in Zion. No friction in Zion. No heresies in Zion. It's all one in Zion. Perfect harmony in Zion. I'm just picking it out, the church of God, like it was back in the beginning and like it is today.
Amen.
It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Now here's a scripture I would like for us to notice in Revelation. Revelation 6 and 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. I've heard many times people tell me, and I've heard many express, that someday, out in the future, in the last great day, the judgment day, the heavens depart as a scroll when it is rolled together. You often hear that. You often hear people. We even have it in a songbook. It says the heavens depart as a scroll when it is rolled together. And they say that means the judgment day is going to take place. That's far from being a judgment day. That isn't a judgment day that's going to take place. There's a different picture in that altogether. Now notice this very plain. He says here in Revelation, to the 6th chapter and 12th verse, and I beheld when he had opened this sixth seal. Now then remember, below this is what's taking place in the sixth seal, not in the seventh, not beyond. What takes place here is under the sixth seal. And I beheld, when he had opened this sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Folks, we're in a shaken time right now, and many of the stars are falling. Saints of God, many of them are falling today, giving up, departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Many are departing from the faith. We're in a shaken time. Now listen, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now here, I never in my life know of a scroll of going apart. A scroll always comes together. That's the way a scroll works. It comes together. The same way, whenever I went into a place one time and went to preaching, and the man, after he heard the truth, he was infected. When he heard the truth go forth, he said, I see the light. I see the truth. I'm coming out of it. I'm leaving it. Oh, man. Well, here is a place called sectism, a denomination, whatever movement it may be. Here's another over here, whatever it may be. And whenever either one, if there's a child of God in here that is born again, he is a part of heaven. He said the church of God is heaven. Over in Hebrews 12 and 26, he said he'll shake the heaven. And if the church of God is heaven, one of them in the church of God is a part of heaven. And if a man or woman, if he's over here in sectism, he's that much of heaven. If there's one over here, yeah, and he's really born again, got a change of heart, he's that much of heaven. And whenever you go in there with the truth of God's word and to tell them just for what it is and all that, and they hear it, accept the truth, they will depart out of that. And this one will depart out of here, and what will they do? They'll come together like a scroll. When it is rolled together, they don't run apart, they don't go apart, they come together like a scroll. Folks, I'm glad for God's people gathering together. I'm glad they don't depart from that, but they come together. Now notice that we read it again. There is some scriptures that it seems like that has been, to me, is very plain, and it says here, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now here, you take a movement today that splits off of the church of God, some movement that splits off in a little group here and a little bunch over here that is split off. They declare themselves that they're not of the world. There's some little bunches around over the country. They say, yes, we're out here. We don't belong to the world. We won't join. We won't organize and all of that. But at the same time, they're cut off from heaven. And at the same time, they confess they're not of the world. Therefore, they're cut off from the world. They're just an island sitting out there. They're just a little island sitting out. Notice it plain. He says here, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now, folks, this is what I have saw in my time. You take a little group, and you'll agree with me, I'm sure. When you see a little group bunch off over here, a split off of the church of God, depart from the faith, here they pull over here to themselves, it isn't very long till they've lowered the standard. It isn't very long till they're getting worse. Going into something else. Getting worse and worse and worse. Just keep putting it doing. They're moving out of their places. They can't stay the same. They'll never be the same. They keep moving about. All that. But thank the Lord, the Church of God stands the same. It stays still. It's solid. It's on the rock. It's on the rock to stay. I want to say here tonight that God's people are a real, true people of God. Zion is the people of God. And so some may say that, well, they've got different things in Zion. You've got to speak in tongues, evidence of the Holy Ghost. Let me read over here in Isaiah. Oh, just notice the scripture here in 33. Folks, this is a quiet habitation in Zion. It is. It's a quiet habitation. It's not no excitableness. It's an intelligent being that's running this this church. Now, over here in 33 and 20, or 19, let's listen close now. He says, thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. You won't see that. Where is you going to look to not see that? You won't see such a thing as a stammering tongue, a talking in this and that that you can't understand. Where is it? Let's see where we're going to see where it isn't such a thing. Thou shalt look upon Zion, this city of our solemnity. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem a quiet habitation. Oh, I'm thankful it's a quiet habitation. It isn't rolling around on the floor. It isn't doing things in seemingly in out of order, exposing themselves and all of that. It's a quiet habitation. It's a sure dwelling place. It's a wonderful place Mount Zion is. It's where all the redeemed are. It's where all the ones that are saved from all sin. It's where the happy people live. It's where the man or woman lives that sins no more. Folks, it's a wonderful place. Don't you want to live in such a home as that? I love this home. I'm not ashamed of this home. I love this home that we're in. I want to read a poem here. It says, over the mountain of Babel astray, long I've wandered so far, far away, but I've heard the sweet sound of his voice, back to God's Bible, the home of my choice. Hungry and thirsty, no food for my soul. Weary and worn, under human control, back to his church, Jesus calls into one. One as the Father, the Spirit and Son, back into safety, the strong and high power. Back where the Spirit controls by his power. Back where no human takes God's divine place. Back to the Pentecost fullness of grace. Glory to God, I found it at last. You know, I'm glad to be there. I rejoice in it with all my heart. And you know, whenever we stop and think about it, he says, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnity. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Isn't that a place to live? Isn't that a wonderful place? That's the home of the soul. All right. Glad to have some. Thank the Lord. That's a wonderful place to live, isn't it? That's a wonderful place to be in. A quiet place. Sure dwelling place. A wonderful place where we can come into and enjoy. Don't matter what takes place. Regardless of what takes place in life, you're still in a sure dwelling place. You know, whenever a man or woman gets in Zion, they're born in Zion. That's our native home. That's the home of every soul. And if everyone would be as humble as that man was that preached for 60 years, then he'd come out and says, I give it up. I surrender. I throw down all my effort, all my labor. I come clear with God. You know, it would be a wonderful place, wouldn't it? It'd be a wonderful place. People can do that. Let's go over here to Psalms 107 and 14, I believe it is. 107 and 14. Now notice this plain. 107, maybe it's 3. And he gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, gathering them from every direction. You know, it's wonderful that God has gathered his people into one, gathered them into one fold. And he said, and they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. That's the way I was when I was in the mountain. I didn't find no place to get in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. But listen where God wants to bring them to. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right hand, the right way. You may be going on the wrong way. He said he led them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city of habitation. It's habitation. It's inhabited. This city we're in tonight is inhabited. It's got the water. The fountain of water is there. You don't have to never run out of water. Oh, the river of peace runs right through it. Make them glad, the city of God. It's a wonderful place to be, and I enjoy it. I found it precious to my soul when I first made the life price on my mind upon my pathway, and when I realized I'd come into the congregation, into the house of God, my soul forever and since has been satisfied. Why wouldn't it be satisfied? Listen here. Think of the difference. In Psalms 104 and 18, speaks about the wild, the hills are for the wild goats, and he says in Jeremiah 3:23, in vain the salvation sought for from the hills. It's in vain it's sought for. There's no salvation out there. Why not come on in home and be home in the house of God? You know, it's wonderful to think about that. Some may say, have we really come to such a home, such a church as all of that in this present world? I thought that was in the future. I thought that was somewhere else. Let's go over here. Hebrews 12 and 22. But ye are come unto Zion, unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. The innumerable company of angels already come there. Already at home. Found a resting place. Listen here. He says that to the general assembly and to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. They're perfect in this house of God. Holy people in there. Sacred people in there. Serious. Oh, I tell you, it is wonderful. Then you go over here, 1 Corinthians, I believe it is. We find a scripture that Jesus is calling them out here and there. 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, 6 and 14. 6 and 14, if you'll bear with me, we'll get it after a while. 2 Corinthians, isn't it? Yeah, thank you. 2 Corinthians, now listen close here. He says, being all unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Out in the hills, sexism, they're all yoked up together with all kinds, mixed and tangled. Some of them are teaching the class with a cigarette. Some of them teaching class in double marriage. That's right. I've experienced a lot of that. One time I went into a movement. And getting ready to leave. And a man announced. He says, see, I don't believe you can leave now. He said, we've announced a meeting over here in this chapel for you to come and preach to us. Well, I said, I didn't know nothing about it. Well, he says, the news is all over there around the country. We've done an advertise. We've done notified that you'd be here with us to preach. Well, I thought myself, if it's a notified and already told around that I'm the preaching that movement. I said, all right, I'll preach for the help of the Lord. So I went in. He said, we turn it all over to you. And I got up and I went to preaching. I didn't know what was before me. I didn't know what kind of people was before me. But I took the text over there in 1 Thessalonians, I believe, 2. If we have not a love for this truth, we'll be turned over to, given over to a reprobate mind. I may get it wrong. And believe a lie to damn. Receive not the truth, the love of the truth. Now I says, well, I want to say this after this morning. I said, I don't know what's before me. I don't know who's before me. But I said, if you don't receive this truth, then there is God, the devil is ready to fill you up with something else. I says, it's either to be filled with the truth or filled with a delusion, one or the other. We can't be filled with both. Now I says here, it's a fact, we'll be this. And so I started out, and I says here, if you want the real sacred truth of God's word, it just simply means to belong in and follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. I said it also, if we don't follow that, take him as our real example, then we'll catch ourselves maybe trying to receive some kind of doctrine of rolling around on the floor, doing things unseemingly, out of order, speaking in tongues, all that is delusion, saying it's the evidence of the Holy Ghost, which there is no scripture found in the Bible for it. I said, you'll be doing all that. The next thing I said, after you get that experience, after you get the tongues, you'll be getting in double marriage, marrying someone else's companion. There you have two or three companions, yet speaking in tongues at the same time. Oh, folks, before I realized the mob was together. At the mob or out on the road waiting. Oh, listen here. Brother, got them out there, got out in the road. There the mob had gathered together. But thank the Lord, that's another time the Lord delivered me. I'm still here alive tonight. He never had a scratch on me. All the time I've met here and there, met the lions and this and that. Thank the Lord, I can say that out of it all, the Lord has delivered me. The mouth of the lion. Folks, it's wonderful to trust God. It's wonderful to be in the house of God. Now then, sin. We didn't finish here yet. He says, 6 and 14, he says, being not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I'll live in them. I'll take possession. All right? In order to get that carried out, to get that done, what next? Wherefore, come out from among them. That's what it's going to take. That's sure as you live. Come out from among them, and not just come out from among them, but be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Then what'll he do next? Then I'll receive you. I'll receive you. What next? And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I'll be your God. I'll be your father. You'll be my son and you'll be my daughter. If you'll take your stand, leave Babylon behind. Goodbye, old Babylon world. I'm through with you. Folks, let me tell you something. We're in the third call right now. We're in the third call of time when God is calling his people out. There was a time when God called the people out of Egypt. But when he called them out of Egypt was the first general call. The next one, when the Jews turned it down, he turned to the Gentiles. That's the next general call. When the Gentiles, he said the time would come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They've quit it. They've turned it down. Now the third call is, he's come out of Babylon. Babylon has fallen. That is the message of today. That's the message over the world today. He's come out of Babylon. There will be no other general call until he calls them all out of the grave. That's the last and final call. There's only four calls in my mind. The call out of Egypt, the call out of the Gentiles, the call out of Babylon, the call out of the grave. And I want to tell you, we're getting close to the time that we're going to be called out of the grave. Now then, since God don't want us to join, since he don't want us to yoke up and be organized and belong into the organized, he said be unequally yoked together. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, he don't tell us to not do a thing and yet not tell us what to do. He won't tell us what to do. Now listen, he'll tell you what to do if you'll listen. He says, in Jeremiah 50 and 4, in those days, days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, and going and weeping, and they shall go and seek the Lord their God. And they shall ask their way to Zion. That's where they're headed for. They're on the road to Zion. They're not going to organize or join when they get there. They're not going to join Zion. But listen, they'll ask their way to Zion. They was joined up in the movements of earth. But he said, be not unequally yoked together with them. Now then he calls you out of them. And here's where he calls you to. They shall ask their way to Zion. That's the home of the soul. With their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord. Not to each other, not among ourselves, but join ourselves to the Lord. How long will that last? In a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Folks, I want to say it means something. To join ourselves to the Lord and let Him. Now, I've heard some say, well, isn't it all right if we join ourselves to each other and organize the church down here? Well, let's go over here and read Jeremiah 17 and 13.